Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyar, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Why are all the really old people women? Why are all the really old people women? What's with that? How many people around the world are older than 100? Forget that. That's child's play. How many people around the world are 110 years and older? How many? Now, there are 72 known supercentenarians. 72 known supercentenarians. And of the 72, there should be, let's see, I'll ask the public school teachers in the audience, how many should be men? Well, half, 35 plus 35 is 70. 36 should be men, but they're not. 68 of the 72 known supercentenarians, 68 are women. That is wild. Pops, forget it. You have no chance. Russ, your past life expectancy. Paul, forget it. Only Dawn here in the studio audience has any hope. 68 of the 72 are female. You know how the feminists complain? They say healthcare is biased toward men, right? Have you ever heard them say that? They say, look at all the money spent on heart attack research and heart attack treatment of men. There's bias in the healthcare system. And I'm thinking, women live 8 to 10 years longer than men do. How could there be bias toward men in the healthcare system? I mean, how is that just possible? And they say, well, look at the results of the students, boys in math and science, they score higher than do the girls. And I say, yeah, how about the scores in every other subject? We can't have any subjects. The girls have to outlive us and outscore us on everything for there to be fairness. I mean, it's just absurd. Feminists are lunatics, of course, because feminism advocates the killing of children inside the womb of the mother. Ultimately, when I was on Channel 7 last night, Friday night, Friday's Christmas, at 9:30 in the evening in Colorado, I'll be on Fox TV, Fox 31, speaking about Sarah Palin and her alleged pro-life position. And last night, I was asked by 7 News, 7's what, the ABC affiliate? 7 News about Diana DeGette, the Denver U.S. representative in Washington, who's saying about Obama's health care bill, she's saying, we need more abortion, abortion, abortion. We need more abortion in health care. We need abortion. I had 3 short comments on this 7 News segment at 10 o'clock, and the first comment was this: it's murder. It has to be stopped. That was the first comment. The last comment was, it's a matter of right and wrong. The second comment was about the Constitution, because Diana DeGette was saying she thinks it's unconstitutional if you don't fund more and more abortion in healthcare. And so I stated, if Diana DeGette is right, that the Constitution allows the killing of children in the womb, then it's time to get a new constitution. If Diana DeGette is right that the Constitution allows the killing of children in the womb, then it's time to get a new constitution. Now, the Constitution doesn't say that you can kill a child in the womb. In fact, it says you cannot deprive a person of life without due process. That person has to be convicted of a capital crime in order to be deprived of life. A child in the womb is not guilty of a capital crime, has not committed a capital crime, and has not faced his or her accusers being committed of a capital crime. So if we were to follow the Constitution, then of course we would not allow the intentional killing of children in the womb. But if there is somewhere in the world a constitution that says, let's say in Russia, the constitution says it's legal to kill the child in the womb up till birth. Let's say it said that. Does that mean then, therefore, in Moscow, it's right to have an abortion? No, the Constitution is irrelevant. The Constitution only serves to display the guilt and the wickedness of the nation. Because if a nation says it's constitutional, like our Constitution did in America in Article 1, that you could own black people as slaves, not necessarily black, but you could own slaves, and they were counted as 3/5 of a person in Article 1 of the U.S. Constitution, did that mean it was right to own a black person as a slave? No, it didn't mean it was right. You're virtually guilty of kidnapping. The Bible says if you kidnap someone, the punishment is death. So a lot of Christians don't know this, and no atheists know this, but the Bible condemns America's slavery. The slavery we practiced in America is condemned in Scripture. Because, yes, some slavery was regulated in the Bible, but if you kidnap people, then that is a crime punishable by death. And American slavery was based on kidnapping, the slave trade. So, and by the way, by our U.S. Constitution, slavery is still legal. Did you know that when we amended the Constitution, it did not say slavery is against the law? It said certain kinds of slavery are against the law, and only Bob Benyert Live knows that in the whole country. There is not another talk show in the country that knows that, and I know some pretty good talk shows. Now, feminists are insane because they say you could kill children in the womb, and that's the ultimate significant moral and criminal issue that governments must address. God's enduring command, thou shalt not murder. So when you say it's okay to murder a child in his mother's womb, to kill that child, you're insane. Now, I don't mean in a medical sense, but I mean that you are divorced from fundamental morality, godlessness, righteousness. And if you come up with some form of apathy and you say, I don't care that they're killing children, you might be a Christian and you come up with some form of apathy and you turn that apathy into a high spiritual virtue. And you say, I'm a good Christian because I don't care if people are killing their kids. It's none of my business. It's not my job. You would have said the same thing in Germany about the killing of the Jews. And you would have said the same thing in England about the trading of blacks as slaves. Because that's who you are. And Jesus Christ calls you to be someone different. To love God and love your neighbor. And love your neighbor does not take the form of apathy and some supposed high virtue of don't judge and forgive everyone. So 68 of 72 known supercentenarians are women. 68 of 72. I wonder who those poor four slobs are who made it. How did they do that? How did they break the trend? Everybody I'm looking at here, all the guys are past life expectancy, except for Will, but he doesn't count. He's the producer. So here are a few reasons why. And the feminists say that the healthcare system is, it's not fair because it's biased toward men, except that men die so much younger. Here's a few reasons why men die younger than women. The death rates peak between the ages of 20 and 24. Now, we don't have anybody in the studio audience between 20 and 24. We have people in their 20s. We have people in their 20s, but nobody between 20 and 24. The death rate, okay, those of you who are guys who are in your 20s, you should pay attention to this. The difference between male and female death rates peaks between the ages of 20 and 24, during which men are 6 times as likely to be murdered as women, 6 times as likely, and 5 times as likely to die in an accident, not counting automobile accidents. Because automobiles are you know, when a guy is drunk driving and he kills three people in another car, that's sort of non-discriminatory. Kills boys, girls, men, women. So men are six times as likely to be murdered and five times as likely to die of a non-automobile accident between the ages of 20 and 24. That's because men are stupid. That's the primary reason. That's why God gave us women, because women civilize us. They teach us how to have relationships, how to be respectful, how to be gracious, how to be concerned more about other people than about yourself. When God made women, he put in their heads a marriage manual. But our culture is working to erase the pages of that manual so that today so many women are broken. They don't know what it means to be a godly woman, a virtuous woman, a godly wife or mother. They just don't know. But it's very quickly recovered when the culture stops its all-out assault on women. Their virtue is quickly recovered. Like when pagan cultures in Africa, when pagan cultures introduce, let's say, nudity for women, right? Pagan cultures, and then Christianity comes into a culture and Christian missionaries, and they teach virtue to young women. And very quickly, those women get the idea and they reassert their modesty very quickly because God put it in us. And even liberals, you know, even when they're amongst themselves, they wear clothes, don't they? Even the immoral liberals, for the most part. I know they're the handful of freaks who go to nudist colonies. But even they, when they go to the restroom, you know, and all the things they do in private, and they say, oh, it's just your body. It's just natural. My foot is natural. What does that have to do with? Oh, it's just your body. Well, then why don't you let it all? They don't. They don't. So God made men and women different, and we men, we need the women in our lives to civilize us. You know, it's one of the reasons Moses wandered for 40 years. He wouldn't ask his wife for directions. No, that's not true. That's not true. I happen to have it on good testimony otherwise. Also, men have testosterone, right? Men have testosterone. And the more testosterone a guy has, the more he has hair on his chest and a deeper voice and all that. Less testosterone, the higher the voice, less hairy the guy is. And women, they have estrogen. And so an effect of the two is that testosterone increases the amount of bad cholesterol you have in your body, and estrogen does the opposite. Testosterone increases the bad cholesterol. What is that? The LDL, church, Latter-day lipids, whatever they're called, I forget. And testosterone increases the bad LDS, and it decreases the good LDS or LDL. And estrogen does the opposite. So these are factors that help women live longer. And then there are guns. And with guns, men are five times more likely to die by firearms than women. And that's whether it's homicide, suicide, or by accident, five times more likely. Now, I don't know if that statistic is including warfare. That may not be including warfare. I wouldn't think so, because then it might be 100 times more likely men are to die than women. And do we want equality so that when we go to war, an equal number of our daughters die as our sons? Is that what we should all fight for? We're fighting for equality. Come on, we don't want to be gender biased. We want equality. No, of course not. God has made men to be providers and protectors of the women in their lives, providers for their wives, their mothers, their daughters, and sons, of course, and protectors. And so you get a family where the husband hides behind the wife when the bad guys come, and you're in a mess. And you're in a mess. Now, it might be that the husband is paraplegic, quadriplegic. That's different. And then there are the drop-dead diseases like cancer and heart disease that are more common among men, while women are more likely to suffer from non-fatal conditions like arthritis and osteoporosis and autoimmune disorders. So men and women tend to get different kinds of diseases. I know there's a liberal listening right now who says, that's not true. My aunt died of cancer. He's an idiot. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And I can't help you. I'm sorry. I just can't help you. But men tend to get fatal conditions from cancer and heart disease more so than women, but women are catching up because of abortion, which is a major risk factor for breast cancer. And if it wasn't for the explosion in the rates of breast cancer in our country, the overall incidence of cancer in the country would be decreasing. But breast cancer has kept the levels steady. How's that? But still, more men are dying from cancer and heart disease than women. And finally, how do men handle emotions? Do we do as well as women do? No. I remember some years ago, I had to pray and ask God, Lord, help me to be able to cry. I'd have a relative would die and I wouldn't cry. I don't know what it meant to cry. It was too weird. It's like, how do you cry? How does that happen? So I prayed, and then I couldn't stop crying for about 3 weeks. It was a real problem. No, it wasn't that bad. But I tell you what, that prayer was answered because men need to learn what it means to be sensitive. And so if you look at men and women committing suicide between the ages of 75 and 79, men are 9 times more likely to commit suicide than women. 9 times more. And what does a woman do when she's sad? She calls her sister. She calls her friend. She calls the pastor. She schedules counseling. She calls Nurse Laura. She does something. But what does a man do? He doesn't do anything. He's just sad, or he's miserable, or he grunts. And he goes for counseling? Usually, no, he doesn't go for counseling. So he holds it inside, he bottles it all up, and then he either gets heart attack from the stress or commits suicide, or just is generally miserable. And so women are better not at math and science. That's just not true. Now, I have a friend who's a fighter pilot in the Air Force, and he insists that women are as good fighter pilots as men when they're trained. And I don't know about that. I have a very hard time believing that. Now, that I've not taken the courses. I don't know. I don't even know about that movie with Tom Cruise. I just don't know. But I do know that men are better at spatial calculations than women. That's one reason why men are better at chess than women, right? Bobby Fischer once said, I'd spot any woman in the world at night and I'd beat her. Now, he was brilliant, but he was a lunatic. Bobby Fischer. I read his book. What was his book? My 60 Most Memorable Games. And then that book about him, Bobby Fischer versus the rest of the world. That was back in the 70s, was it? I used to take chess lessons from an international grandmaster in New York. What was his name? Samuel Reshevsky. That was it. International grandmaster. I take chess lessons from him because I enjoyed the game, and, you know, I wanted to explore it. Well, men are better at spatial calculations. And I remember growing up playing softball. And I was never especially good at sports, but once in a while I'd be out in outfield in baseball or softball, baseball typically. And I'd make a few of those rare catches where it's over your head, you're running, you look back, you run, you dive, you put your right hand over your left shoulder as you're diving, and you make the catch. How do you do it? You have no idea how you just caught the ball. Your brain is making these wild calculations. Wind speed, speed of the pitch, swing of the bat, sound of the crack of the bat, the general arc of the ball. You're running, you're hardly looking at it, you dive and you catch it. And I think, I could be wrong, and I'm very willing to be corrected on this, but I think that men are better at that than women. Is that true? Now, I know men are stronger than women. I know that. That's supposed to be. Women are the weaker vessel. God made them that way. And that's why we men have an obligation, a responsibility to protect the women around us. And that's why women should not go to combat. And that's just one bit of evidence that liberals are stupid. And they're in rebellion. And they don't love women, they hate women, because they're willing to sacrifice women on the altar of their worldview, their political correctness. So if you have an epidemic of men beating up their girlfriends, beating up women, and the men go into court and they get their hands slapped, and they get a restraining order that doesn't mean anything other than he comes back and he beats her up again. And it just doesn't matter. I've had a jail ministry for 6 months, and I've seen the guys get released with domestic restraining orders. They go out and they come back sometimes 24 hours later because they beat up their wife or worse, or their girlfriend. And so what would a Christian do? Well, a Christian would flog the man who dared to lift his hand against the woman. He'd be flogged. And the guys who hit women are cowards. The guys who hit women are cowards, so if he knows that a big guy is going to whip him as many as 40 lashes on his back, if he hits a woman, and then when the judge orders him, he will know what will happen to him, and that whole epidemic will go away. That whole epidemic would go away. But you know what? Liberals would rather sacrifice thousands of women on the altar of being nice to the men who beat them. God made us differently, and he made men stronger, and we're to protect, not only provide for, but protect the women around us. And so I'm thinking about fighter pilots, and I don't know, do we have any pilots here in the room? Do we have any aviators? Any four? No, we don't have four pilots in the room. Do we have any aviators? We have one. Private or for the service, military? Military. All right. I would think a fighter pilot would have to make these spatial calculations, especially if he's in a combat situation in the air, like a dogfight. I just tend to think guys would do better at that. But math and science, it doesn't mean there are not women who are as brilliant as any man, or there certainly could have been some women through history that were more brilliant than any man. In math and science, it's certainly possible. And our culture downplays a woman's expression of her mathematical and scientific interest. And so, of course, but I mean, generally speaking, women are more interested in relationships than they are in rocks. Generally speaking, men are more interested in metal and dirt and the speeds at which things fall to the ground. Just we're different. And so 68 of the 72 known supercentenarians are women, and that's great. That's great. Now, what percentage of children born are women? Isn't it about 50%? It's about 50, a slightly higher number for boys, but it's about half and half. Oh, and by the way, that's more evidence that God intended monogamy. more evidence that God intended monogamy, because even with other factors, if God intended for the average man to have three or four wives, or five or ten, he would have designed us so that we'd have five times more women than men. But that'd be crazy, right? Because all the babies that would be born, it would just be out of whack, no matter what you did. But so God designed us for monogamy, and he designed us for healthy relationships where men care about the things of the world and women care about relationships. And then women teach us men how to have good relationships. That's the way it works. But in a culture where the women have been trained to kill the child in their womb, the woman's heart gets hard, and the woman becomes like a man, and that's ultimately the goal of feminism, is to tell women, you're no good unless you can act like a man. And so feminism hardens women. What, would you rather have a man hold the door for you or let it go in your face? Which would you prefer, Christian virtue or feminine cruelty? Because that's your choices. And so our whole country, of course, is falling apart morally and spiritually, as is the world. But you know there's a bright light on the horizon, and it's the personhood movement. And do you know the modern personhood movement got its start in 2008 when Colorado got on the statewide ballot with personhood? And now there are 40 states promoting personhood legislation and language for amendments. And do you know Colorado's trying to get back on the ballot for 2010? And we have about, what, six more weeks? Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, what a great school. We need your help here at Bob and Yurt Live. Do your Christmas shopping at kgov.com. And it's the end of the year. Maybe a donation to Denver Bible Church. That would be tremendous.